John chapter 3. It's not going to be on the screen right now. We're going to go ahead and start right in to verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the desire that you laid on our hearts to have an interest to come here and to worship you. You are worthy. Help us, each of us, to be still and to listen as you speak. Help each of us to walk away from this place, being drawn closer to you. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Again, verse 18 of chapter 3 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." You can't miss it. I've shared this with some of you all. These are one of the most frightful four words that I ever hear from somebody when they're giving me instructions. Have you been there? You can't miss it. You go somewhere you've never been before and someone gives you instructions. Well, they've been there, so, and they've passed all these places and they know it, and they know it like the back of their hand. So from their perspective, yes, you can't. But I've proved over and over again, yes, I can miss it. I love it when someone comes to me who's already been there and just says, "Follow me." That's my preferred method of getting somewhere that I've never been before. Let's look again at John chapter 3, verse 1. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi,'" or teacher, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So here we have Nicodemus, a man who, now later on, we don't see it here in this text, but later on in the gospel we see this was a man of the church, or excuse me, the Sanhedrin, a council of some 70 Jewish leaders who were basically the judges for the nation of Israel at that time. They were to judge, and they were judging out of the Word of God. So this was someone who understood his Bible, and he knew full well of anyone in that nation at that time, in first century Israel, that he would have known, or at least should have known, his scripture well. And so here's Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. Now John says that, so we think there's something important here. And some have suggested that he did this because he was fearful of what everyone else might think, which I can understand that reasoning, because the Pharisees, quite often throughout the Gospels, you see them approaching Jesus in the crowds, and they attempt to prod him and to test him and try to get him to say something in a way to trick him. In other words, they weren't there truly desiring to learn from him. They just simply wanted to pick at what he had to say, trying to belittle him, trying to get some dirt, so to speak, something that they could utilize to damage what he was trying to do in the world. But here we have Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, who is a leader of the Jews, who's chosen to come to him at night with a sincere desire, I think, to truly understand, but he's confused. He doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he sees something in Jesus that there's something here. I don't quite have it yet. I don't quite realize it, but there's something here. He recognized there was something missing in his life. Again, I think, again, knowing that he's a Pharisee and knowing what we read of the Pharisees, he was someone probably who worked hard, very hard, at being a man of God. There were things that he tried to do. There's things that he wanted others to know that he was doing. And yet he still sensed there's something missing. And praise God, he knew he was led by God to go to the right place. He went to Jesus. Here's this first century Bible teacher who recognizes something in Jesus, but yet he doesn't fully understand. Jesus doesn't give Nicodemus really a chance to ask any specific question. He immediately begins to answer his concerns. And I think that speaks to how God still works with us today. We go with him in prayers, and there's things we want to say, and there's things we're concerned about. And listen, God already knows. Jesus knew full well what Nicodemus was wrestling with. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, truly, truly." Now, when we see Jesus saying this, we see this represented in the Bible. It's kind of a way of saying, listen, what I'm about to tell you is really important. You need to pay attention to this. I think maybe today, sometimes we say, honestly, serious, I'm telling you, this is something you need to know. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now the kingdom of God here is clearly pretty important. And Nicodemus recognized this is pretty important. But I think sometimes we might wrestle, what's this mean? And I want to tell you, I could spend lots of time just discussing in general what all is involved in this idea, the kingdom of God. But I think at least in this context, there's really two things that you need to take away from this. The kingdom of God is speaking about us choosing to live for God today. We can be involved and be a part of the kingdom of God as we seek to fulfill his will in our lives right now. Let thy will be done, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. This is one aspect of us being a part of the kingdom of God. But it's also about eternal life. It's also about what happens in the life that we live today. Let's take a moment, and I just want to look at something that Jesus said in another gospel, again, to just expand on what I think is important for us to understand concerning the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 9, verses 47 and 48, Jesus says, "And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Now listen, I think these are some kind of exaggerated points that Jesus is saying, but he's saying, listen, if there's anything in your life that's getting in the way of you entering the kingdom of God, then you better let go of it. He says these extreme words to say, listen, you don't want to get anything. You don't want anything to get between you and be a part of the kingdom of God. And then he makes a comparison. Listen, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, there's the kingdom of God, and then there's hell. where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So here you can see Jesus is talking about this kingdom of God. And yes, it's talking about the here and the now. We don't want to let go of that. But he's also talking about the decisions that we make that will affect us for an eternity. Imagine now that imagine that Jesus now has the full attention of Nicodemus. Recognize that he is a religious leader of that day. So when you think about it in a company, in a business, or anything, you have this group of people. You have the leaders, the ones that are most knowledgeable, the ones who've spent the most years in it, the ones who have wrote the books, right? I'm not saying he wrote the Word of God, but I'm saying he was that kind of authority. And yet Jesus says, you still got something missing, Nicodemus. You've worked your heart out since you was a little boy, trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to make God happy. Listen, Nicodemus, you still got something missing. He's got Nicodemus' attention, because I'm sure there's a part of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a man, or he was a human being just like you and I, and he's like, I've done all these things. I've studied thoroughly. I'm on the top of the heap, so to speak, in the religion circles that I walk in. What do you mean I got something missing? But listen, look in the context. Nicodemus knew Jesus. If there was something more, he just recognized by faith Jesus would have it. He knew something was missing. He never fought with Jesus, though many others have. And you may even fight yourself. With, listen, I've got this figured out. Nicodemus, again, he's got his attention because he realized, I've chased all these things. I've went down all these avenues, and yet I still feel like something is missing. And Jesus is trying to let him know that there is something missing. And he's trying to show him right here what it is and what to do with that thing that you feel is missing in your life. He speaks of being born again. And you know, you see Nicodemus' response. What does that mean? What do you mean to be born again? Can I return into my mother's womb? And of course, Jesus was talking about something way beyond a physical thing. He's talking about something that God is going to do that's supernatural. And it's really even something that's not, something physically is not happening. It's something that's spiritually that's going to happen in your life. You must be born again. Now, you maybe not understand this morning what that means, but I hope you trust at least that Jesus says this is something that you must do. So you need to, just as Nicodemus did, explore what does that mean. What does it mean? Nicodemus doesn't understand it. So Jesus goes about attempting to explain it to him. In verse 5, he says, Jesus answered. Again, we see, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and in the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is absolutely necessary for you to get this, Nicodemus. This is something that you need to choose to do. You haven't done it yet. It's still out there. The opportunity is there, but you need to make this decision. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now that's kind of interesting to me when God says, when Jesus here says to Nicodemus, don't marvel. Don't wonder about this. Don't be so astonished by it, because everything within his human nature is saying, I don't get it. This is hard for me to grasp. And yet Jesus is saying, don't marvel at it. He's simply saying, trust me, Nicodemus. This is something you cannot get unless you trust me. Amen. If you don't trust me, this is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. If you don't trust me, you're not getting it. Don't sit around and marvel about it. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't get your mathematical formulas. Don't think about everyone else. Don't think about your grandpa, your grandma, how you've been raised, where you've been all your life, what you've been doing, everything that you've done so far. Don't think about all that stuff. Jesus says, listen, you have to trust me in this. You're not going to figure it out with your human mind exactly what all is going on here. This is beyond your human nature to grasp Listen, I don't know about you, but I serve a God that's smarter than I am.
Amen.
I serve a God that knows things that I don't know. And I'm okay with that. And Jesus is saying, listen, you don't know. You don't know, but I'm trying to tell you. You got to trust me. You got to trust me. You must be born again. In your current state, Nicodemus, he was saying to him, you're headed to hell. You're not quite into the kingdom of God, though you've worked hard all your life and trying to get there and doing all these things. Yet you still have something missing. And without taking the next step, being born again, you will not make it to heaven. You will not be a part of the kingdom of God. And here's where Nicodemus is given a choice. And God is still regularly offering that same choice to us today, some 2,000 years ago. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? I think he's kind of toying with Nicodemus a little bit. He's saying, listen, some of this is beyond your understanding. But listen, look about in the wind. Do you know, fully understand exactly where the wind comes from? Or even what the wind is? Do you really? We can see the results of the wind, right? We can see dust being turned up, something being shoved over, some extreme winds. We can feel the wind on our face. But do you really know the wind and where it comes from and where it's going? Jesus says it's the same way, in a similar manner, so is the Holy Spirit. There's some aspect of this that you don't fully understand, but yet you can observe it. You can see it in your own lives, and you can see it in the lives of others who have chosen to respond to Jesus Christ. In a very similar manner, those who are born of the Spirit, who are born again, those who have received this second birth, are affected by this wind. But can you see it's a matter of faith? It is not only a matter of faith and trusting in Jesus Christ, but it's also, again, our ability to observe and see it, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Listen, Nicodemus, you're not fully grasping it all. Listen, many of the religious leaders of that day weren't getting it, weren't receiving it, weren't taking what Jesus was sharing. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, a title that Jesus is using for himself and often did in the Gospels. He's speaking about himself. Listen, you gotta, Jesus said, Nicodemus, there's some things here you're not going to get. You're not going to fully get them. You're not going to resolve it. You simply gotta trust me. And I love what Jesus says here. No one has been there but me. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know. I've been there and I've came here. And not yet, he's not yet died, but he is going to return. Nicodemus, I know the way. And we've come to understand, Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So many people in this world, including Nicodemus, and maybe yourself, are working hard, attempting to do things to try to please God. And none of that matters. None of it matters to a hill of beans until you have come to that point in your life that you've accepted and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, here Nicodemus is given a choice. Do you trust me? Are you willing to follow the path that I laid out before you? Then Jesus gives a Bible illustration. He gives a Bible illustration to Jewish religious leaders. Or Jewish religious leaders should have known well. Something that he probably heard in a synagogue as a small child. And something as the Pharisees quite often were the teachers in the synagogue. So he may very well have been teaching this very illustration out of his Bible, the Old Testament, to those who had gathered in the synagogue. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, we're not going to go there. We could spend time discussing that, but I just want to tell you, make note, if you have interest, it's in Numbers chapter 21, where this incident happened that Jesus is referring to. Listen, Jesus is speaking to a Bible teacher, a man who knew this illustration. He would understand the impact of what this means. What happened was the children of Israel were traveling from enslavement in Egypt and going to the promised land that God had told them about and was guiding them to. And in the process, some things happened. Again, you know, back and read the chapter. I don't want to get too deep into it. But basically what happened, the children of Israel were not doing what they ought to be doing. And there were some poisonous snakes that had came about. Moses is calling unto God, what do we do? How to resolve this? And God tells Moses to go and build a bronze statue, basically, with a snake on it. And he tells the children of Israel that all you need to do to be healed of this illness, people were dying, to be healed of this illness was to stop and to look upon that bronze snake. What did he ask them to do? To respond in faith. Again, can you see the similarities that there were some things that the children of Israel were not going to understand? Now listen, be honest. Those of you who are taking pills on a regular basis, don't we put a lot of trust in what the doctor says is in these little dots, you know, in these little things that we take regularly? We respond in faith, but by what some people tell us about things, thinking, okay, this is going to heal me. I don't fully understand it. Maybe I've heard other people talk about it. Maybe I've read about it. But I'm going to trust. Jesus is saying, listen, this brought healing to the children of Israel. He's speaking to Nicodemus. If you believe what the Word of God said concerning this incident in the nation of Israel, can you see in the same way? Now, I'm asking you to respond in faith to some things that you don't fully understand. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, put up this bronze pole, and people were supposed to look upon it to be healed in the same way, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And this is prior to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but that's what he's talking about. He's saying in just a few days, I don't know the time frame, but in a short manner, in a short time frame, you're going to see the Son of Man, speaking of himself, you're going to see me up on a pole. And you're going to need to trust in what you see. You're going to need to trust in what I'm doing for you in the same manner as to what the children of Israel did concerning the trust. And just as they were saved from their physical illness at that time, Jesus is saying, I'm trying to heal you of a spiritual illness that's heading you to an eternity in hell. Just as the people of Israel had to act out in faith, so too did Nicodemus need to act out in faith. So now Jesus closes out this conversation with basically explaining how someone becomes born again. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, I know when you look at this, again, from a human standpoint, you say, I don't understand it. I don't quite get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Why would, going back to the bronze pole, why would that bring healing? I don't know. Why does simply looking upon the cross, trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, bring healing? I don't know what all's going on, but I simply believe that Jesus said it. And because he said it, I trust in him that that's what's going to happen to me as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It is his desire that none be condemned, but Jesus wanted to make it clear to Nicodemus, as he's making it clear to us today as we look in the Word of God, that you are, prior to that moment in time that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are condemned. Condemnation is on you until you've said, I trust in Jesus. Best way you know how. I think it in some ways isn't a simple word. It's not necessarily simple in a sense that a lot of people wrestle with it, struggle with it. But it is a simple word. Simply believe what I tell you. Believe what I tell you. Believe and you will not be condemned. Don't believe and you will be condemned. Have you received your second birth? Pretty important question for you to ponder for yourself this morning. Just as that offer was given up to Nicodemus, God is still giving out that offer to us here in Vanderhoof Baptist and many other places where His Word is being shared. How do we become born again? Thinking about it from Nicodemus' perspective, again, it started with recognizing that something that was missing. Listen, you're never going to receive anything from Jesus Christ until you start with that point of recognizing something's missing. I'm just not sensing that I'm where I need to be. And then once you sense that, if you've started that, and listen, praise God, you're on the pathway and you need to come to Jesus. Best way you know how, listen, Jesus is not physically here with us tonight, but I'm telling you about Jesus. The Word of God tells you about Jesus. I hope you have friends and neighbors maybe who know a little bit about Jesus, who already started down that pathway that you can talk to. You need to inquire of Jesus. You need to ask questions. Listen, there's no question that is out of bounds. I think sometimes in a church we get this impression sometimes we're fearful of, you know, what we can ask, what we can't ask. Listen, I don't have all the answers, but I'm not afraid of any question you ask me. I might tell you I don't know. I might say I'll pray with you. I might say, hey, let's look and try to find something in the Word of God. But listen, there is no question that's out of bounds. God is not fearful of your questions. If you're thinking it, God already knows. Ask about it. Ask somebody. Inquire. Even if it means going in a strange time. Listen, if you're not comfortable talking to the pastor or someone else this morning, then get me afterwards. Send me a text. Send me a Facebook. You know, on the way out, I sometimes get a sense I sense I'm talking to somebody and I see somebody else sort of standing there for a minute and then they move on. I know I can't get to every one of you who may want to speak to me. Hey, just hand me a slice of paper or a piece of paper and says, hey, call me, whatever. Listen, that's what God brought me here. I'm not the only person. Listen, there's many other here who can talk to you as well, but if you have a sense that you want to talk to me, get that to me. Let me know. I want to talk to you. Inquire. But I'm going to tell you, you're never going to know Jesus until you step through the door of faith. Amen. Nicodemus is saying, or excuse me, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you got to trust. You got to believe. Those who believe aren't condemned. You got to respond. And listen, I've heard people say, I can't believe. I can't believe. And God says, this is what you need. And listen, He's equipped every one of us with that opportunity. You can choose to believe or you can choose to not believe. I believe it all my heart. Childlike faith, not understanding it. Listen, if you come to me and you tell me to go so-and-so and I've never been there before, if I truly trust that you've been there, then shouldn't I trust that the instruction you give is going to get me there? See, Jesus is saying, I've been there. I know what it takes. You got to trust me. You got to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no one has ascended into heaven except He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. I want to close with a few verses out of Revelation, again referring to eternal life. Revelation 20:14-15 said, death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I would encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter how long you've been going to this church. Even if you've been a member, if you feel stirred in your heart that you need to make a move, that you need to have a discussion with the pastor, with the Lord Jesus Christ, or with your neighbor next to you, don't put it off. This is a good time to have that conversation. And listen, if you are born again, then praise Jesus for it. Remember what He did for you. Remember where you were. Praise Him for it and look for opportunities to share with others the pathway. We get too worried about it sometimes. We want to think about, we got to share this verse, that verse. I got to get it all right. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Has your name been written in the book of life? Listen, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't wait until you got it all figured out. Can you see, in some sense, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you're not going to understand it all. Step through in faith. Paul speaks about us receiving the Holy Spirit of God, and he's saying there's some things that, about the Word of God, that we're never fully going to understand until we've stepped through that door of faith. We can't practice Christianity. We can't act like Christians. We can simply become Christians by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you've made that decision. As we prepare to sing, I would encourage you this morning, if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way, if you feel some stirring, some concern, the altar is open. I know it's not necessary. You don't have to come forward. I can talk to you afterwards. You can go talk to somebody else. You can go talk to the Lord. Open up the Word of God and talk to Him. I want to encourage you. Don't wait. Follow through with that decision that you feel God is leading you to do right here, right now, this morning. What do we have?
What's up?